This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Over the weekend, the state GOP elected a new chair, businessman Ron Weiser, who has led the party in the past. This came after the most recent Republican Party chair in Michigan, Laura Cox, challenging his candidacy over a series of allegations of fraud. Now, Cox is out, Weiser is in, and facing an ethics investigation. That just scratches the surface of the inter-party drama in the state's Republican faction. Here to help us unspool this story is Zach Gorchow, the publisher of Gongwer News Service in Lansing. Hey, Zach.
Hello.
So, Laura Cox made this 11th-hour bid to keep the chairmanship out of Ron Weiser's hands. It was ultimately unsuccessful. She raised some allegations that Weiser made payments to a candidate for Secretary of State in the interest of getting him out of the race a couple years ago. What did this long-shot effort tell you about the state of the party?
It's really the Hatfields and McCoys. I guess I've been kind of saying that for a while, that you have these two factions that have been battling for control of the party really for close to 20 years, and this was just the most, maybe the wildest episode in the whole thing. That Laura Cox would effectively throw a Molotov cocktail into the state Republican Party. It was pretty shocking at the last minute. I think a lot of people, even those who may agree that some of this stuff needed to come to light, are wondering, well, where was this a long time ago? You just waited until it was, you know, the very last minute in an effort to settle a score. That said, these are very, very serious allegations. And they immediately loom as a huge shadow over Ron Weiser, the new chair of the party. I mean, he's going to have the Michigan Department of State investigating whether laws were broken in the payments he made to Stan Grat, who had been a candidate for Secretary of State, dropped out and subsequently got paid $200,000 by the party in about 6 months. For field work, which I think most people would say is way more than what one would usually pay for field work. And right. Possibly the Michigan Department of Attorney General coming into it, too, if the Secretary of State asks. It's just an amazing situation.
So the cross current in the party this week is that the Hillsdale County Republican Party has slapped their guy, Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirkey, who represents Hillsdale, among other places, with a censure. They feel that he has not been bullish enough with Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Considering that Shirkey has been Gretchen Whitmer's main foil in Lansing these days, did this ring as an incongruous stance?
I mean, I was flabbergasted. I don't know if I can overstate how mind-boggling it is that there would be a group of people out there who think Shirkey has somehow kowtowed to Governor Whitmer. I mean, you know, this is the guy who once said she was on the bat blank crazy spectrum, who has, I mean, done everything conceivable to get in her way, opposed things, has called her a dictator. I mean, it's, you know, he has empathized with some of the militia groups that have demonstrated at the Capitol, at demonstrations where, you know, people were hanging the governor in effigy. I mean, I don't know what more these people want other than, you know, I don't know. I don't know what more he could possibly do to satisfy these folks. But I think it speaks to this schism in the Republican Party between the sort of pro, you know, uber pro-Trump wing and sort of the old school, what you might call the Chamber of Commerce wing of the party, which is diminishing, I think, by the day. And from what I understand, this sort of uber pro-Trump wing successfully ousted the previous leadership of the county Republican Party and is dumping all over Republican elected officials, and they're not conservative enough. I'm not sure what else to say. It's amazing.
What was Mike Shirkey's response to the censure?
He basically was the old saw, well, if somebody's criticizing you, you must be doing something right. You know, there are some, you know, they in the censure resolution, there was some talk about possibly seeking a recall against him. That would have absolutely no chance of achieving what this group would want, because under Michigan's recall law, Mike Shirkey, is as long as he wants to be, even if they got the signatures to put a recall on the ballot, Mike Shirkey is the automatic sole Republican nominee, if assuming he wants to run, and I assume he would want to run. So a recall would really achieve nothing other than causing him some hassle and, you know, the opportunity for him to beat a Democratic candidate there by probably 65% of the vote, given how strongly Republican that area is.
Zach, one more thing. Mike Shirkey also got some ink in a New York Times write-up published today about the Republican Party courting militia and extremist groups. It repeated some things that we saw reported in January in Michigan Advance, detailing some things that were said in the meetings between Mike Shirkey and some of the militia men who ultimately plotted to kidnap the governor. Do you see what's coming to light with Shirkey's contacts being of any surprise to people who know him and who maybe know how the way things have been going in the GOP in Lansing?
If you look at it in the context of the last few months, it fits. But if you look at it in the context of, you know, Mike Shirkey's more than 10 years in the legislature, it's still, I guess I keep using the word astonishing, it's still kind of astonishing. I mean, the last quote in that New York Times piece, he expresses a level of empathy for the insurrectionists who ransacked the U.S. Capitol. He said, now, to be clear, he says he doesn't condone what they did, but he says he understands that they feel like the country's being yanked away from them. I mean, that's an amazing statement. I mean, you know, you could think of a lot of terrible events that have happened in this country over the years. And if you were to say, well, I understand where they're coming from, you'd kind of be mind, you know, it would really be a disturbing statement. So, you know, he's clearly cozying up to these militia groups. You know, he did, along with former Speaker Chatfield, prevent the outcome these pro-Trump insurrectionists wanted, which was to overturn the election. You know, he made sure that the legislature didn't do anything to try to overturn the will of the people in Michigan. So it's somewhat incongruous that he did uphold the, you know, Democratic result of the presidential election in Michigan, and yet he's also empathizing with people who turn to violence to try to stop Congress from certifying that election. It's kind of hard to wrap your head around. You know, he was one of the ones who did not sign the letter to Congress seeking the nullification of Michigan's votes, electoral votes. So he, again, on that score, stood with how the people voted. So I'm not sure why he's voicing empathy with these tactics.
Zach Gorchow is the publisher of Gong War News Service. Zach, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Militias have been part of the political right in Michigan for a long time. Many Republican Party members now find themselves in a difficult place following last spring's demonstrations against public health rules with militias front and center, a militia-led plot against Governor Whitmer, and the U.S. Capitol insurrection in January. Even so, recent reporting on one party leader's conversation with military members and other stories might suggest to us that the relationship is actually getting closer. Ken Sikkema is a former Republican majority leader in the Michigan State Senate, and we've called him up to talk this through. Ken, welcome back to Stateside.
Nice to be with you, April. Thank you.
Well, let's start with some party business, as it were, the Republican Party's leadership elections last weekend. Ron Weiser and Michonne Maddock are now leading Michigan's GOP. Does that tell you anything about what the highly motivated and engaged people who cast those votes have on their minds right now?
Well, the leadership election was pretty rancorous, but it's been that way in the past at times. You know, Ron Weiser really, I think, represents an attempt to have a unified party. So I think from a Republican standpoint, I think that's a good indication. But, you know, there are a lot of forces at play right now, and time will tell.
How would you expect Ron Weiser and Michonne Maddock to share power? She, of course, is the wife of Matt Maddock, and both of them have been very supportive of Donald Trump and were actually in the Capitol on January 6th, the day that the insurrection happened, although Michonne Maddock has maintained that she was not part of the group that entered the Capitol building. Ron Weiser is seen as you say, a more moderate guy. Do you think these two will be able to have a working relationship?
Well, I've never been a big fan of attempting co-leadership arrangements, whether in politics or in business or whatever. Now, as you point out, you know, you got a person who really kind of represents a more Trump element and then a leader who really doesn't. And how they arrange this co-leadership role going forward remains to be seen. But I just generally speaking, I don't like co-leadership arrangements.
Well, let's move into the question of how the sway that militias may have within party leadership. Details have been trickling out about Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirkey's conversations with militias, some of whom we now know were plotting to kidnap Governor Whitmer. All elected officials do meet with activists. But when we read in Michigan Advance back in January that Mike Shirkey was, quoting here, helping them with messaging and was asking them, are you making sure that you don't have a live round in the chamber? Does that kind of contact signal something beyond what usually happens when someone who's in a leadership role meets with activists?
Well, here's the irony. You know, at the same time, you know, that has happened, you've got the Hillsdale County Republican Party censoring Mike Shirkey for apparently not being conservative enough. And that's the irony here. I mean, censoring Mike Shirkey for not being conservative enough would be like the Democratic Party censoring Bernie Sanders for not being liberal enough. It's just, it's silly. And, you know, there are elements, people in the Republican Party who are sort of flirting with extremism. And that's no way to sort of build a party going forward, in my opinion.
The position that people like Ron Weiser and Mike Shirkey are in, I mean, some would certainly argue, if you're not willing to just flat out say, we do not support militias, we do not support armed resistance against the state or the U.S. government, that would end the problem. But given how popular militia movements have been with party faithful over time, do they really have any choice but to deal with people who are saying that they believe in armed rebellion?
Well, I don't think that militias have been all that popular with the Republican Party over time. I mean, the Republican Party historically has stood for some basic principles like lower taxes, personal freedom, respect for life, less government regulation. And to the extent that the party sticks with those fundamental principles, it can be successful going forward. But flirting with, you know, militias at this point in time isn't going to help.
Do you think it's true that the party is becoming more comfortable with the presence of militias, if not an overt alliance?
No, I don't think they are becoming more comfortable. I think, you know, that the militia movement around the country, but particularly in Michigan, has sort of waxed and waned over the years on their own. And right now, it's getting a lot of publicity and probably attracting more adherents than it has in the past. But the Republican Party historically has kept them at arm's length. And that's what they need to continue to do if they want to be successful electorally.
What's your take on why we aren't seeing more moderate leaders surfacing right now to challenge what's happening?
Well, as I said, you know, there are some basic principles that the party has stood for over time. And you can't get in a situation where, you know, one person or one group sort of says, look, here's my definition of a Republican. And if you don't fit it to the T, you're not a Republican. You can't have a successful party if you take that attitude. You've got to have some basic principles, like I said, but you have to be a welcoming party. You can't be sort of isolating people or trying to censor people or trying to toss people out of the party just because they don't fit your particular definition of what a Republican is. You have to have a basic level of tolerance to welcome a broad range of people who have different interpretations of these basic principles. But, you know, what's happened, I think, of late is that, you know, individuals or small groups say, look, here's my definition of a Republican or my definition of a conservative. And if you don't fit it exactly, you're not a Republican. parties are not successful when they take that attitude.
What happens to the voters who are turned off by the more militant faces, either in local parties or at the state party level right now? Do you think they will continue to vote blue if the party leadership can't find a more moderate stance?
Well, yeah. I mean, people that, you know, who are not quite as conservative as other Republicans, if they don't sense that the party has these basic fundamental principles, and then within those have a pretty high degree of tolerance, or if they sense the party is flirting with militias, they're gonna vote elsewhere. They're gonna vote for Democrats. They're gonna just vote elsewhere, and you're gonna lose them. And that's what I mean about a party has to focus on how to be successful within their fundamental principles. But the danger of the Republican Party, or some people, some groups in the party, have right now is sort of forcing these voters to go elsewhere over time, and then you can't be successful electorally.
Do you foresee a more permanent split developing?
That's a good question. I don't, you know, my crystal ball is pretty cloudy on that. You know, we might be at a point where sort of a fundamental realignment, if you will, of parties and voters take place. It's happened before in our country, and we could be in that era. I'm not smart enough to know if we are or not.
Ken, anything else strike you about what this moment in Republican history means with the power sharing arrangement in the state party, with Jason Wentworth coming in as Speaker of the Michigan House and Mike Shirkey's continued leadership role in the Senate?
Well, you got to appreciate this irony here about, you know, the Hillsdale County Party censoring Mike Shirkey for not being conservative enough when he's probably the most conservative lawmaker at the Capitol right now.
Yeah, you mentioned that before. I mean, how do you interpret what elected leaders' responsibility is when they have that kind of pressure coming at them from below and are seeing an opportunity in making the kind of statements and alliances that Mike Shirkey has made?
Well, I just think the Hillsdale County Party doing that is an example of outright silliness. I mean, like I said, it'd be like the Democratic Party censoring Bernie Sanders for not being liberal enough. I mean, how silly can you get?
Ken Sikkema is a former Senate Majority Leader in the Michigan Legislature. Ken, it's great to hear your voice.
Thank you.